Hello, everyone. It's Steve Baker coming to you again with another 5 in 10, episode number 4. Number 1, here I go again defending former President Trump. Not because I like him. Those of you who have followed me for many years know that I'm not a big fan, but I keep getting put into this position because I truly desire to be a defender of truth. Do you remember when President Trump said on January 6th that we must fight like hell? And then every Democratic Party leader and most of the MSM said that those words are what instigated the so-called insurrection. Remember when Benny Thompson, the chairman of the original House Select Committee on January 6th, said that Trump's speech that day was summoning a mob to Washington? He actually said afterward, on January 6th, when he knew that the assembled mob was heavily armed and angry, he commanded the mob to go to the Capitol, and he emphatically commanded the heavily armed mob, to fight like hell. He left out the part where Trump said, "I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard," and that the fight like hell bit was just in reference to ensuring future election integrity. It had nothing to do with the scheduled march or the other legally permitted events at the Capitol that day. The violence was started by people who did not even attend Trump's speech and began the first assaults on Capitol Police before Trump even finished that speech. The fact is, almost every politician, left and right, has said they will fight like hell for their constituents on one policy issue or the other. A couple of days ago, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer tweeted the following: "Our vision is simple. We're going to elect leaders who will fight like hell to defend working people and protect our most fundamental rights." But she's not the only Democrat using those fighting words. A guy who was then Vice President Joe Biden said on June 25th, 2020, that families all across the nation deserve a president who would go into the White House and will fight like hell to make sure they get the health care they need. Then Senator Kamala Harris also said, "Millions of Americans are counting on us to stand up right now and fight like hell to protect the Supreme Court." Whitmer's remarks justifiably raised eyebrows online because we are not only sensitive to these hypocritical attacks, lies, and smears against the use of common speech, but also because, well, she has her own sordid history of being engaged in an FBI-instigated conspiracy. Number 2, speaking of the FBI, we now have a report that the FBI groomed a 16-year-old with brain development issues to become a terrorist. Once again, another case of the FBI creating a crime and a criminal where one did not exist before their involvement. Mateo Ventura, an 18-year-old resident of Wakefield, Massachusetts, was arrested as an international terrorist financier and ISIS supporter. The only problem is that according to the government's own criminal complaint, Ventura had never actually funded any terrorist group. The only terrorist he is accused of ever being in contact with was an undercover FBI agent who befriended him online as a 16-year-old. Then solicited small cash donations in the form of gift cards and directed him not to tell anyone else about their intimate online relationship, including his own family. Ventura's father says that Mateo was born prematurely and had brain development issues. As a result, he was suffering endless bullying at school with other kids taking food off of his plate, tripping him in the hallway, humiliating him, and laughing at him. Then, as a 16-year-old, the FBI began grooming him as a terrorist. In short, they eventually led him to turn himself in, turn in his ISIS contact, effectively admitting his involvement as a terrorist financier or supporter. The only problem is that his only ISIS contact was actually the very FBI agent who groomed him in the first place. This agency is out of control. It's almost like they don't have enough real crimes and real criminals to go after. They have now, for the last 20 years, seemed to have created a division of entrapment within the FBI. Even if this 16-year-old was the one who first initiated the contact, the FBI could have, should have, intervened with him and with his family right then on the spot, and not then spent the next 2 years nurturing him until he was 18 and then legally liable as an adult so that they could rack up another terrorist arrest on their gun belt. For additional reference, see Michigan and Governor Whitmer's alleged kidnapping scheme, or see Matteo Ventura, or see the number of FBI confidential human sources that were involved with the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers leading up to January 6. Number three, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has admitted that COVID-vaccinated people are now more likely to be hospitalized than those who are unvaxxed. Dr. Robert Malone, who we all know, who helped develop the mRNA technology utilized in these vaccines, said that the negative effectiveness is consistent with prior data that showed each successive vaccine dose actually increased the risk of infection to the virus and its mutations. There were control groups used in these findings, those who were hospitalized for flu or cold-like symptoms who both tested positive and negative for COVID. So I'm not likely to concede that COVID hypochondriacs are the ones that are still filling up the ERs with cold and flu symptoms, even though the second leading cause of COVID deaths is fear and anxiety. That fact, too, is also published on the CDC website. Because more data is showing that both the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines are providing near zero protection against infection and negative protection the more boosters received, the FDA warned, "We're concerned that we may have another wave of COVID-19 during the time when the virus has further evolved, immunity of the population has waned further, and we move indoors for wintertime. You better get those masks laundered and ready, because winter's a-coming." Number four, Joe Biden's Twitter intern tweeted out today, in his name, of course, "At a time when guns are the number one killer of kids in America, it shouldn't be this hard to convince Republicans in Congress to keep weapons of war off our streets and to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous people." Vice President Kamala Harris then followed up with her own tweet. She said, "Weapons of war have no place on the streets of civil society. Congress must pass an assault weapons ban. President Biden will sign it." Congressman Thomas Massie, he responded to those tweets. He said, "Your bodyguards and dozens of civil agencies like the USDA, the U.S. Department of Education, and the EPA possess the firearms you are calling weapons of war. The reality is you want every citizen disarmed and every government agency armed with those guns." Then I dove into the fray, responding to the president's tweet directly. I said, "The only weapons of war being used on our streets are by drug gangs and cartels, and they are already illegal for the average American to acquire. Start there and safeguard our borders." We all need to begin responding to this disinformation campaign and, dare I say, fight like hell with our own voices. Do not allow them to establish and anchor this narrative into the American public's consciousness. You and me, we don't own weapons of war. We do not. Not a single military force on the planet uses the AR platform for their soldiers. There's a reason for that. That's because they are not weapons of war. Number five, I spoke at a GOP event today. Actually, it was the Wake County of North Carolina's Republican Women's Club. They were very brave to invite a small L libertarian such as myself, but everyone was friendly and my remarks seemed to be very well received. While I covered a variety of topics, they mostly wanted to hear about January 6th. There were maybe 100 in attendance, and I asked those who went to DC on January 6th not to raise their hands. They laughed. Then I asked if any FBI agents in the room would raise theirs. Despite polling and congressional perceptions that the GOP base has January 6 fatigue, this group demonstrated to me that they are not tired of the subject at all. They want to know the truth about what really happened that day, and they wanted to know what they can do to help. Well, glad you asked. I'll tell you. Call your Congress members and senators. Tell them to get off of their hands and fire up a real committee to investigate the emerging evidence that more than enough intel showed violent actors were expected and that officials withheld that information from police, literally setting them up to fail by many actions and inactions. We know this to be the truth now, and we needn't get into other prevalent conspiracy theories about January 6th. Let's just begin with what we know and bring those responsible for what happened to full account. If you are a GOP donor, tell your congressman you will withhold support from their campaigns until they give me a call. I can say with confidence that I know more about the intel failures and police failures that day than the very Congress members whose police officers were sworn to protect them. Or, and I really like this suggestion, send your Congress member an IOU, payable only after the initiation of a new January 6th select committee. The good news, from what I saw today, is that the GOP grassroots are not complacent on the January 6th issue, but it's time for them, all of you, to light a fire under the House GOP's butts, and let's get this party started. All right, that's it. Please consider joining my Locals community, where I share content I don't put out anywhere else. It is free to subscribe, but for as little as $5 per month, you can get even more content, and that's content shared nowhere else. And you can also help support my continued investigations into government weaponization against all of us. And as well, those ongoing revelations that I mentioned before about what really happened on January 6th. Simply go to tpc4usa.com or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for @tpc4usa. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same handle, @tpc4usa. I'm trying to make it easy for you. Thanks a bunch, and I'll see you again tomorrow with another 5 and 10.